So I want to get into word with you about some things that I think is on God's heart tonight. I believe that. I mean, you know that God's probably more in control of your life than you think he is. I mean, you know, come on now. I don't have to get up in the morning and go, I wonder if God's in control today. I can promise you. He got a good night's sleep because he don't sleep. Aren't you glad that your Father is God? And he has a Son whose name is Jesus, who has redeemed us and now lives in us, sent the Holy Spirit to us to live in us, and then given us the book called the Bible to guide our life. I mean, hey, this is good deal. So let me tell you what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes. I want to talk to you about living the God life in the now. Let me make a statement or two. I need to kind of set this up. How many of you know you can't live yesterday? You can think about it. You can't live yesterday. It's gone. Because we live in this thing called time. You can't live tomorrow because you're not there yet. Sometimes it's very hard to enjoy now for thinking about tomorrow or thinking about yesterday. But the God life has a present tense attached to it. God lives in the eternal now. I can't get my brain around all of this about God because he's God and I'm still a human being in whom he lives. But God lives in the eternal now. We live in a thing called time. I mean, I can look at my watch. I can look up here. We will leave here in a little while and go home and go to bed, get up next. What time? Because we live by time. But, you know, the amazing thing is that God lives with us in time, but God is not, come on now, God is not constrained to time. He is the eternal God. With God, everything, I mean, come on now, you say, explain it. Ask Jeff, he'd tell you. How do you explain eternity? Because eternity is never tomorrow or yesterday, it's now. You say, where's that in the Bible? Let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, you know it's the faith chapter. Now listen to a part of the phrase. Now, this is a New King James, now faith is. And you know, faith don't work yesterday. It don't work tomorrow. It works now. Now faith is. So what is in the original language, the word now simply means the immediate presence. Do you realize that since I got up here, time has passed, and I'm living in now. Now, my life, your life, I live in what I know now. Not what I wish I knew, or not what I forgot. I live in what now is real to me. And let me show you this in the Bible. It has fired me up, obviously. In Colossians chapter 1, go there with me. I want to read a section. And then I want to break down some things about what Paul is trying to say to us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. And I want you to see what he's praying. It's interesting. He breaks it down into four points that he's praying for the church. If he's praying this for the church, this is God's will for Grace House. God's will for my life. Now, here's what he said. First of all, for this reason, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you, first of all, may be filled with the knowledge of his will. How many of you know when you say you may be, you're not there yet? And listen, in a little while, June and I and Jeff and Charles, we may be back at the house. We're not there yet. Paul said, I am praying that you may be In other words, that's your direction. You may be, I love it, you may be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, of His will. And then he went on to say, and that, watch this, walk worthy of the Lord. We're praying that you will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That's what he's praying. Fruitful in every good work. That's what he's praying. The third thing he said, he said that you may increase in the knowledge of God. One was the knowledge of his will. One was the knowledge of God. How many of you know we perish for the lack of knowledge? You can't live in what you know because you can't come back from somewhere you hadn't been. Come on. Okay. So he says, I pray that you'll increase in the knowledge of God and be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering with joy. That was, Paul was praying this for the church. And then, as we turn the page, and then he gives us three perfect tense. I mean, perfect in the sense that it's now. Three things that I've got now. And he gives me insight on how to live the God life now. Now, and I want to explore that because it's good to look at. So go to verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. I'm going to read it, then I want to talk about it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now look at it. Here's our point. God, now watch what he says. What has God done? He has, and you know, if he has, you are. That's now. It's not a maybe or going to be. The Bible says God through Christ has, I'm just reading it, has qualified us. Qualified. Jesus has qualified you. Come on now. That means, the word qualified means he's got you completely ready. There's nothing else he needs to do to qualify you. Now listen, it does not involve your self-effort. That is not required. God did it through his son Jesus. Your spiritual qualification wasn't what you did for him, it's what he did for you. When he qualified you, come on now, you know when he qualified you? The day that you said, I'm lost and I need Jesus. Jesus, forgive me, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. And I stepped into him and he into me. Bless God, at that point, I'm qualified. I don't have to do something to be qualified. I don't have to get a PhD in theology. What you know is good, but listen, he has qualified you. And then he begins to explain, qualified you to do what? Partakers. I like that word, partaker. Kind of reminds me of a little while ago, we stopped at a place called Trowbridge's. Can I help you? I'll have some hot ice cream. Can I tell you, the four of us became partakers. Now, come on now. Come on now. Listen to me. When we ordered ice cream and they brought it out, we didn't sit and look at it and go, we're qualified to eat it. Can I tell you, we flew into it. I mean, them spoons were flying. That turtle will make you howl at the moon at night. It's so good. Do you understand? Jesus says, I have, now come on now, I have qualified you to be partaker, not to look at it, but to partake of it. How many know there's a big difference? And then he goes on to say, you've been qualified. I keep laboring it. He has. Everybody say has. Well, he has qualified you to partake of the inheritance. I like that word, don't you? You by his grace have been qualified to partake of his inheritance, not mine. but his inheritance. And what in the world does that mean? First of all, his spiritual blessings. Anything he has done, you have access to because you're qualified to partake. I heard somebody say to me one time, "Oh, I don't ask the Lord for much because I know he's busy." I'm thinking, let us pray. God is never busy. Come on now. God don't get busy. God don't learn something. God, listen to me. God can't go somewhere. He's already there. See, we don't think that way. This is God. He knows everything. He's everywhere all at the same time. And he has all power. This is our God who sent his Son, died for us, to qualify all of us that have been redeemed to do what? Partake of the inheritance he wants us to have. I'm not looking at ice cream. Bless God, give me a spoon. And so the first thing is that his spiritual blessings. Can I give you a scripture that will bless you? Romans 8:17 says, we are heirs. An heir. That means I have a legal right to the inheritance. He gave you in Christ a legal right to his inheritance. He gave you that. Joint heir is all of us partaking of that inheritance. So we're heirs and joint heirs. That's what he said. And he has already done this. Would you believe with me tonight that God's got more than you need? You know, it's hard to say this because how we think and what God's not coming up with a plan. He's not planning out tomorrow. It's hard to plan. Well, don't I have a choice? You do. He just knows your choice before you make it. Do you realize tonight, and I know you know this, when you walked in this building, God didn't go, "Huh, I didn't know you were coming." You know better than that, don't you? He knew you was coming. He knew I'd be up here. He knew you'd be listening. He knew this. Do I have a choice? Yes. He just knows my choice. The day I got saved, God knew I was going to get saved that day. Could I have gotten saved sooner? Yeah, I could have. Because I stayed under conviction for 18 years. I could have gotten saved a long time before that. But I didn't. Was it God's will that I wait until I was 23? I didn't say that. I just say that God knew at 23, Doc Shell and his wife June are going to get saved. Well, if that's my God, and he knows that much about us, I say we qualified to partake of this incredible inheritance that God sent through his Son Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Don't that make you one rich believer? Well, let me look at verse 13. Notice every one of them is living the God life in the now. Okay? Look at verse 13. Then in 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Second point, remember now. Now, he has qualified you. What has he done now? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has. Delivered. What does that mean? Rescued. How many are glad he came to the jailhouse and said, "Come out of there, boy. I died for you at the cross. I am now setting you free." Those whom the Son sets free are what? Free indeed. Do we have problems? As long as we live here. But listen, I'm not walking around a slave to my yesterday. I'm a free, and so are you, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I have been. Come on now. I have been. If you have been, you can't be because you already are. You can't get in this room. You're already here. And when we realize I'm sitting in here and I can't get here, I've been delivered. So therefore, if I've been delivered from the power of darkness, I've been rescued. Now watch the word. I've been rescued not only from the devil, but from the power of the devil. The word power is not the word dunamis, it's the word for authority. Now come on now. I want to preach a little right here. Can I tell you, in Christ Jesus, the devil has no legal right over you. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Now, why do you think the devil tempts you? He's trying to get your permission. If he can't get it, come on now. When the devil knocks on your door, send Jesus to the door. And tell Jesus to tell him, I've been delivered. He said, excuse me, got the wrong house. See, we think the devil is so powerful. He's overpowered. Come on now. In Christ Jesus, he has no legal right over you. Listen to me. He cannot make you sin. He can tempt you. If he can get your yes, then he can cause you to sin. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a believer, don't tell me, well, I couldn't have it. The devil just made me do it. Well, one of the things you got now is a lying spirit. That's when you need deliverance. Come on now. How many of you know the devil cannot make you sin until you consent? I'm reading it in the book, Living the God Life in the Now. And so these people that tell me, I got to sin in thought, word, and deed all day, every day, I don't believe that. I said, Brother Doc, don't you ever sin? I didn't say that. But I don't get up in the morning planning my sin day. And neither do you. I'm going to get up in the morning and say this. I am the redeemed of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been qualified for the inheritance. And now, I just want to make a decree. I've been delivered. From what? The authority of darkness. Don't have any legal right over you anymore. Don't let the devil talk you into that. Well, I mean, you know, that's the way your mom and daddy were. Don't you listen to the devil. He don't have any. He is a slick tongue talker. Not tongues, but tongue talker. He talk you right, hey. Let me know that he talked Adam and Eve right out of a house and home. Listen to me. He's smarter than you are. Don't sit around and talk to the devil. Tell him what Jesus said. Jesus didn't talk. He didn't sit around and talk, have a conversation with the devil in the wilderness. What did he say? It's written. Let me put it in my words. He said to the devil, this is what my daddy said. And when you tell the devil what he said, who's bigger than him, guess what? He has to back up. So when I look at this, I think, well, glory to God. You have been delivered, and I have a salvation that's now. Now, I'm going to heaven, and so are you when you die. But listen, I'm not there yet. I'm living down here. But not only, now watch this, not only have you been rescued, the Bible said you've been transferred. Aren't you glad that you don't belong to the devil? This old thing, well, you're an old preacher. I'm just an old sinner. And they always shake their head when they say, you're an old brother. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you know, there's truth in that. But that's not what the Bible says. Bless God. Listen, I got transferred. You know, what was my transfer? Now, come on now. Come on now. I came out of darkness into light. I got transferred out of death into life. So I've been transferred. Can I tell you, as I would say about you, that morning in that little Methodist church, when I walked out of that little white building and got in our car, bless God, I wasn't the same guy that went in there. Why? I've been transferred. Well, say, don't look any different. It don't matter. Who I am is in here. And so when Paul said, there's been a new transfer. Listen, stop trying to fix it and let him. He can fix it. Because he knows where it's broke. You ever tried to put together a swing set without the instructions? If there's any cuss in you, it'll come. You ever tried to live your life without the instructions? Because if you don't know that you've been transferred, which means delivered, transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son, I'm looking at you beautiful people. And I'm being honest here. I'm looking at you beautiful people. Bless God. You don't belong here. I'm only passing through. You belong in another world. I am, you are, in a citizenship in another dimension called the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is in me. One day, when this heart stops beating and this body drops off, I'm moving to my final house. And when you think of it like that, that you already have been transferred in your citizenship is in heaven. And we believe that your citizenship tonight is in heaven. It's not here. You don't belong here. Don't get too attached. And so Paul said, we've been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. You know the beautiful thing about this, and Jeff here, he's the Greek guy, but you know the beautiful thing about the word delivered and transferred happens all at the same time. In other words, you don't get delivered and somewhere down here you get transferred. The day you got delivered, there was a transfer into the kingdom of God. There it is. And when I look at it, I'm thinking, preach yourself happy. Because listen, go look in the mirror. Sometimes you just need to go look in the mirror and go, well, bless God. I don't care how I feel. Read this to yourself. I've been delivered and I've been transferred into the kingdom of God. Well, what about the third one? Here's the third one. Look at verse 14. In the 14th verse, if you can get it better, it just gets better. Every one of these are present tense. I have been qualified. I have been delivered and transferred. Now watch 14. Look at 14. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So let's talk about that. I have. I can't get what I have. Listen, you're sitting here redeemed. You have been, you are, and you will be. Your redemption is twofold. First of all, and we've already mentioned it, you know what redemption means? You were bought out of slavery. I was a slave to sin, and so were you. Well, we all were. But the day you said yes to Jesus, he brought you out of the prison bar of sin and transferred us into the kingdom of God. And then, I love this, and then we have been forgiven. Now, how many of you would agree with me, when God forgives you, he don't bring it up again. He never brings it up again and go, aha, I remind you. He never does that. What did he say? I will remember it no more. There's one thing that God can forget, and that's your confessed sin. Now, your cousins may bring it up, or your spouse may bring it up, or your preacher may bring it up, or your neighbor may bring it up, but God will never bring it up again. I remember John Wimber saying an issue with him. He had an encounter with a brother, then he was preaching a meeting in a conference of some sorts, and he said, I had this thing with him, and I knew I was wrong, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I confess that as a sin to you, and I ask you to forgive me. John Wimber said, I went to lunch, and I had to speak right after lunch, and you know, I'm getting ready to speak, and I said, Lord, I just thank you that you're listening to me, and I just want you to know that I've sinned against them. The Lord said, I don't remember. I don't know what it does to you to know that when you confess your sin, that God goes, He don't cover it in the blood. That's old covenant. The blood removes it. Give the Lord a God bless you. Hey, aren't you glad? Under the old covenant, it was covered under the blood until the cross. After the cross, it's not under the blood, it's removed by the blood. Now, so the what is, I've been redeemed, I've been forgiven. I thought just a little while ago, I wrote it down. You know, some of us need a lot of forgiveness, but how many of you know, if you're lost, you're going to hell if you die, and there's not a hell number one or a hell number two. You're either lost or you're saved. There's only two kinds of people in this world, lost and saved. And I thought about somebody in the Bible. I mean, this particular woman had seven demons, and Jesus delivered her. What was her name? Mary Magdalene? Now listen to her. Come on now. Resurrection morning. The angel pushed the stone away. And who's the first person he talks to? A woman out of whom seven demons have left. It's not about your past. It's about your now that God's interested in. So here, I mean, you know, and I love Mary Magdalene by just reading it in the scriptures. And you know what he said to Mary Magdalene? Mary, out there is an apostle that blew it. Find him and tell him. I've said that in this book. And tell him the tomb is empty. She was the first one to announce the resurrection. Out of whom seven demons? Oh, God can't use him because God loves to find those kind of folk and use them. So how does he do that? Verse 14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. How do you and I sit here tonight redeemed, forgiven, child of God, in the kingdom? How do we do that? The Bible said, through his blood. The blood of Jesus was where his life was. When he poured out his blood, he poured out his life. Now, let me ask you, and I'm not asking for a response. When you look in the Bible at the number seven, it's interesting, the number seven. Numbers are important to God. If you go from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find God weaving numbers together prophetically to bring it to a conclusion. So the number seven, I looked it up and I studied it today just to find the number seven in Scripture means completion. The number seven means fullness. The number seven means divine perfection. That's the number seven. Now, interesting, through the blood, you have been redeemed and forgiven. And at the cross, guess how many bleeding spots the Lamb had? Well, let's count them. 2 feet. Help me now. Right? 2 hands. Back. Head. Side. That ought to be seven. Don't you find it interesting that wasn't three? It was seven because the number seven is completion. It's fullness. It is divine perfection. At the cross, he finished it. Now, you don't need to add anything to the cross. He did it. It's over. When he said it's finished, he wasn't kidding. And you know, with all of us, how are we who we are? Not because of something I've done, but because it's what he did. Not me. He did it. So why do I want to spend all my time trying to do something I can't when he said, I'll do it for you if you'll let me? You remember in the Bible in Corinthians, Paul had these people following him around, messing him up. When he'd preach, they'd just talk about him and, I mean, say bad things about him. I know any of you preachers don't know anybody like that. But anyway, Paul had somebody like that, and he went to the Lord three times and prayed God to remove them people. Finally, the Lord said, Paul, let's you and me talk. Paul said, I've asked you three times to do this, and you haven't done it. You know what God said? Don't you understand, Paul? My grace is sufficient. Don't care what you're going through. Don't matter where you are. I've got a grace that's got victory written all over it. Why? Well, let me go back and say it. Because living the God life in the now. I'm looking forward to the days ahead, but I'm not there, so I can't live there. I look back and I thank God for the way it's been, but I'm not there anymore. I'm living right now. So all I can live in right now is what's real to me. You ever notice, you guys probably hadn't, back in the old days, especially when Jean and I'd go to these big conferences, you know, where thousands of people and speakers would say, you know, I was believing God for an airplane and I got one, I thought, yeah. I'm believing God for a Cadillac. I got it. I go, yeah, that'll work. So I went home and said, I'm going to believe God for me a Cadillac. How'd it go? I was dreaming. Do you understand? That wasn't real to me. It was real to them. So I can't live in what is not now. Real. What? Come on now. In the 10th chapter of Romans, what does the Bible say? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, quickened, made alive word. See when you got this, and you're saying, well, dear Lord, look at that. But all of a sudden, that verse or section becomes real, and you're living in the now of that. That's the God life walked out in faith in the now, because now is faith. You can't operate in faith in the morning. Forget it. Because when you get there, it'll be now. Will it not? Come on now. You can't operate in faith in the morning. You're not there yet. Faith works now. Hope is always future. Faith is always now. Now faith is, right? I mean, you can't get saved thinking, I'm going to get saved tomorrow. You'd die and go to hell believing that. Why? It's because right now, what's real to me, hallelujah, I can live in. And you know, I've had to live that out, and I'm still trying to. Because I wanted to be one of them big, I wouldn't act like them, you know. I won't go through all that. But I found out I couldn't act like them because I wasn't them. And finally one day I said, well, Lord, I can tell you this, Lord. Look like you're stuck with me because that's all there is. And you know what this like? God said, I never asked you to be anybody else. I asked you to let me be myself in you. Aren't you glad that's what he wants with you? Yeah. He didn't want you to be like somebody else. He wants to live his life in you and out of you and through you. And that's your now. Well, I've enjoyed this. Because I believe God's calling a bride to a now living, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but just what? Knowing what I have now, and it's real to me, I can live in that. But I got to live in it now. You know, people say, have you got faith to raise the dead? I never have but once. Have you seen other dead folks? I have. Did I have the word on it? No. Well, did you try to raise the dead? No. Why? Because he didn't tell me to. Jesus didn't heal everybody that was sick in Israel. But for those that came to him, he did. So I had to find out, Lord, so are you telling me to do this? When a dead woman was sitting there and the Lord said, lay hands on her and I'll raise her up. I had the word then. See, I'm in the now. And so I've tried to live this, but I've not lived it all that good. But I can tell you right now, I know living the God life is what is real to me right now. And I can walk in that because it's a light under my path. Isn't God good? I mean, he's so good. And when I look at what's ours now, I can walk in that. When I go, well, Lord Jesus, and I'm walking this way. Well, Lord, I wish. That's good. Nothing wrong with wishing, but you can't live in your wishes. You live in what is real, your rhema to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for these precious ones. Lord, I just thank you that you are now. You're always in that eternal now. And then, Lord, the only thing we can live in is now. Because you created us after your own image. So, Father, I bless you for a salvation, for a relationship that is now. And I give you praise for it, Lord. Amen. Ask the prayer team to come, if you don't mind standing for a moment, and anyone that would need prayer. I can tell you, there'll be times that God will quicken something to your heart. Move on it. That's your now. Move on it right then. And you'll find God there. And when you move on it, you're going to find the God life is always lived in the now. Not what was, not what's going to be, right now. And so we all battle that now because... But that's where God is. God's always in the now. So, Father, I just pray for all of my brothers and sisters and pray for those that might need just somebody to agree with them tonight. And if you're here tonight, let me just encourage you. If the Spirit of God's tugging at you, respond to that. I can tell you, that's light for you. That's life for you. God will meet you there. So, Lord, I thank you for each one. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name. God bless you for coming, and the altar's open. We'll be glad to pray for you, anybody that needs prayer. God bless you, and have an awesome rest of the evening. Amen. You're dismissed.
The glory of your presence, I find rest.